This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, year number 4, hour number 2. What's happening? Taking a tear to here, CBS Sports Radio, company from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. You know, Teague and I were having a discussion the other day about just the general state of the NBA. And, you know, not to just complain about it. We still love the game, but there's been a lot of changes where, you know, players don't play every night, maintenance days where there's seemingly an aversion to defense. Most teams, even some of the star players, you know, shot selection, everybody's got a green light. You know, coaching is the ability to, I don't mean, discipline is probably a bit strong,
yeah.
But, you know,
but you're not disciplining anybody.
No, I mean, some young players you can, but yeah. What are you going to do? Sit down, Kevin Durant, you took a bad shot, take a seat, stop. He'll laugh at you, and he'll take up and shoot another one from further out, yep. I guess. So the NBA's changed a lot, right? Now, the thing about the NBA, even going back, not just the Magic Bird, though that was at such a pivotal point, the whole, you know, Russell and Chamberlain dynamic as well. You don't need this in baseball. You don't need it in football, though it's always good. Like if you have the old Redskins team and the Cowboys, or, you know, the Packers and the Bears, or, you know, it's good to have either regional rivalries or divisional rivalries, even if some of the names change. That's good for the sport. The helmet resonates.
Yep.
Basketball has always been about two things: star power, but also, you know, up until lately, teams taking those incremental steps, taking the bump, you know, getting a little black eye, getting a little blurry, coming back the next, oh, you know what, we're going to add this shooter, this guy off the bench, come back for another round before you eventually beat the champion and move on, like Michael Jordan's Bulls did against the Pistons. They finally broke through. Mm-hmm. We've seen that progression. Now, it's different because superpowers align, and they just kind of basically jump into the conference finals, you know, minimally, and it's different. We get that. But I still think, Teague, the more we get away from the essence of the league, I do think it's to its detriment. And I ask you, I want you to take the reins on this first here, pal. Do you think, again, no one's coming close to Magic and Bird, but on any level, the energy that Zion produces, all right, and the incredible clip in which he's playing versus Doncic, who is so much more talented in different ways and incredible. That shot the other night was insane. Can they be a bridge to a more competitive or more appealing NBA down the road, do you think?
I mean, as long as Luka doesn't come in to every other season weighing, you know, 20 pounds overweight and a horrible start, and puts and dedicates his offseason to perfecting his craft like LeBron James puts his offseasons into perfecting his craft.
Damn, you're coming hot on Luka.
Yeah, I'm coming hot. Maybe, BT. Man. The problem, and this is why, you know, when you try to look for the next Magic Larry dynamic, it's going to be very, very difficult. One, the black-white issue, which we've always talked about. Two, it was a continuation of a serious rivalry, at least when it came to the NCAA final in 1979, with Indiana State being undefeated.
Uh-huh.
Let's not forget, they were on their quest, just like Gonzaga this year, to be an undefeated national champion, and they lost to Magic Johnson and the Michigan State Spartans in the final, right? So yes, it was this great matchup between Indiana State, Michigan State, but it was all there was a lot at stake for Indiana State, and Magic cut it out from under them.
Yeah, and a lot at stake for Michigan State trying to win the championship.
True, but it's different when you're undefeated.
I got you. You're that was only a couple of years after the Indiana team ran
right.
the table.
That's
back
exactly
in 76
right.
with Bobby Knight and Ken Benson.
That's exactly right. And so, and then they get to the NBA. They're on opposite coasts.
Yes.
Like the iconic franchises, well, what would become the iconic franchises of the respective edges of the country.
They still were at that point. The Celtics were, and so
you're
were
right.
the Lakers.
You're
they
right.
were.
The Lakers,
Minneapolis Lakers, and then the LA Lakers.
Lakers and they Celtics. And they're on the other sides, and it's like a rivalry that just seems to be waiting for the NBA Finals. And guess what? They get to the NBA Finals and they play immediately.
Man.
So there's this past relationship. There's this newly developed NBA relationship. And they're on the other ends of the country. When you look at Luka and you look at Zion, first of all, Luka's international. Zion was a one-hit wonder at Duke. Didn't win a championship, obviously.
No.
Came into the league hurt. There was no prior history between Luka and Zion. Maybe they played a couple of times. Have they been epic matches? No, they haven't been. And I just don't see the comparison. Now, in time, maybe, but I doubt it. Most importantly, because they're both in the Western Conference.
Well,
they're never going to meet when it matters most.
Hold on a second.
And that's in the
though.
NBA Finals.
Everything you said, you nailed it. So I don't need to be repetitive. You absolutely nailed it. I will say this, though. If you know, before the 1979 NBA draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were to try to devise this, the most elaborate, effective script to save the NBA,
mm-hmm.
The most creative person would not have come up with the script that actually unfolded. Because, and again, you're right, black, white, but not every white guy is like Larry Bird. Like,
no,
Larry
not
Bird's
at all.
From the sticks. I'm a white guy from Brooklyn. I didn't like Larry Bird, bro. I'm like, I say this with a smile, but, the corny mustache, the hair wasn't doing it for me, he didn't have any muscle, he didn't look cool in his uniform. Like, I hated him because I was on the Celtics. I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I want to be like Chris Mullin with the flat top and just different vibe. I also didn't like Magic. I thought Magic was corny. I thought like with the knee pads and like even though I love it's crazy to say it now, I thought Magic was a little corny. I couldn't stand the color of their uniforms. I couldn't stand them. Kareem, who, by the way, I have number two on my all-time list, MJ, Kareem, and LeBron. So this is not historical shade toward Kareem. This is just how I felt as a kid. I'm like, who the heck wants to emulate that guy with goggles? If I do a skyhook in the park, I'm going to get decked by somebody. There's no way I'm even busting that move out. Maybe if nobody's looking, I'll throw it up. But
what if you're knocking him down, though?
Trust me, I wasn't good enough to knock anything. I'm lucky if I knocked down the jump shot. I'm not knocking down a hook shot. So the point is that not only were they, you had the one white player and the one black player 3,000 miles apart on the charter NBA franchises. I mean, these are all things that, again, if you try to do this,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that you can write a more effective script. But the people, like you can have middle people, and not to stereotype, but you can have people in the middle of America who say that I couldn't relate to. I'm talking about white people that I couldn't relate to as a kid. Like, man, that's our guy, Farmer. You know, they would call the Hick from French Lick. That's
yep.
his nickname, the Hick from French Lick, right? And then you have Magic, who's got more soul. He was doing the there was the clip of him doing the at the radio station at Michigan State playing mm-hmm. some of those jams. Like Magic just had, even though on the court I thought he was a little corny, off the court the guy's style was ridiculously through the roof. So all these things, like, there was something for everybody. Now, having said that, I'm not going to waste anybody's time saying that Doncic and Zion can even remotely replicate that. That there's no way that's happening. But I will say that there's something to be said when you're in the same conference. You would think the greater appeal would be out of conference and mm-hmm. meet for the championship,
yes.
right?
You would that's think. What I. That's what I. That's how I positioned it.
But this
it.
Is where we. This is the only thing we disagree on. When you are in the same conference, much mm-hmm. like the Yankees and the Red Sox in the same division,
yeah.
when you're in the same division or conference and you're fighting for the same thing.
And conference year, matters in NBA, but different than division.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Year after year after year after year. I don't know that it'll get to this point because the NBA is just so different, but it is somewhat remotely plausible that Luka Doncic or Zion Williamson keeps the other from ever winning a championship.
Or getting to one.
Or well, that's what I mean. Getting to a championship, for sure. And that's at least with Bird and Magic. They knew, all right, the Lakers, we got to handle at that point. We got to take care of, you know, Roe Blackman, Mark Aguirre. We got to take care of Dallas. You know, the Celtics, once they got past the Sixers, who were aging out with Dr. J and Moses Malone, it was a little bit of a different path. They knew. I mean, they played for the finals three times in the 80s. They knew they were getting there. As long as nobody got hurt, they knew they were getting there. If you're playing to get to the finals, one of those careers could be irreparably scarred.
Yeah.
If you don't get a championship and it's the one guy who keeps you from getting there three or four times, that's next level. It's different.
Yeah.
But to me, it's almost as interesting.
Yeah. I haven't seen that rivalry start to develop yet. And so I wonder if it ever will. I know it's been brought up and it's been
talked
about.
You got to play for something first, Teak.
True.
You got to play for something first.
And they're not there yet because the Nets are still going to rule the roost for, what do you think, two more years?
First of all, Nets aren't going to win the championship this year.
Well,
I'm putting the official jinx on the Nets on our fourth anniversary show.
But I'm not even talking about jinx winning the championship. I'm talking about
we can't have them win.
I'm talking about the intrigue of the Nets. That's going to be them for the next at least 2 years.
Well,
right?
No, because they signed 4-year deals, right?
Yes.
This is year two, so it's already 2 years in the books.
So two more years.
But the last years they have an opt out.
Yeah,
they're
not going to opt out if they're close to winning a championship or if they win one.
We don't know what they're. I will never say that this guy's staying. I don't know the modern NBA.
Either way,
you're going to say Kyrie Irving's. I don't know if Kyrie's going to play next week.
Either way, 5 years from now, these aren't the guys we're talking about, right? It's not LeBron anymore.
No,
it's probably not Kyrie.
No.
Or Harden.
Or Curry.
None of those guys. They're not the guys we're talking about.
Damian Lillard, we're not even him.
Nope. So if it's not Zion and Luka, then who could be? Who are these young
Jason
players?
Jason Tatum.
So there's a bunch of young players, and I have a list here, BT.
Okay.
Ja Morant, who we talked about a couple weeks ago. De'Aaron Fox, who we talked about
two days ago.
De'Aaron Fox, who's just, I mean, he's been amazing. Mm-hmm. The problem is the Kings just haven't been able to do anything. Tatum, who you mentioned before. Trae Young, who's very, very interesting. Brandon Ingram, obviously Zion's teammate. Mm-hmm. If he evolves, I mean, he's 24-6-4 guy. If he evolves into like superstar status, then maybe that elevates that conversation a little bit that we're talking about with Zion and makes it more, much more interesting. Jamal Murray, Bam, and Devin Booker. So those are the other ones that you look at. The problem is when I think of any of those guys that I just said, there's none of them that I can envision 3-4 years from now being the unquestioned face of the NBA.
The face of the NBA.
Now, Luka and Zion, maybe. I'm talking about these other guys.
Yeah.
I don't disagree
with you, T.
I don't think Bam's going to be that guy. Maybe Tatum. Maybe Tatum.
Bam has no chance to be that guy.
Agreed.
I like him. Zero chance.
That's what I said. He's not going to be that guy.
Zero chance to be that guy.
Maybe Jason Tatum, only because he plays for the Celtics. But the Celtics got to get out of their own way. I mean, they can't keep doing this every year, having, you know, I mean, couple years ago, they were actually really good, and they got deep into the postseason, but that was a surprise. Now the expectation is, all right, Celtics, what are you going to do? Right? You've been sitting there for a while. Do it or get off the pot, right?
Yeah.
And so at some point, unless the Celtics elevate, I don't know if Jason Tatum can be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the conundrum for the NBA, is it's who becomes that guy? Who becomes that global face that we're always looking for, or not even always looking for? I think just it's always just occurred. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Magic, and then there was Kobe, and then there was LeBron. Like, it's always just occurred. Who's going to be the next one to step into that void?
Boy, I mean, to me, it's Doncic. But the fact that he's not American, I mean, that has no influence on me.
Yeah.
But it very well might have influence. Now, from a global point of view, I mean, it's going to make them more money than if it was just an American star.
If he becomes the guy, if he becomes NBA number one.
How does he not become that guy? Because here's what he has.
Because the team's not good, BT.
I understand that.
At some
point,
you got to push. I can't.
21 years old.
That's wrong. They are good. They don't seem championship viable. And at some point, you got to at least have that viability.
Michael Jordan didn't. Michael Jordan got the crap kicked out of him the first 6 years.
But that was a different. It was a different era, man. It was like Michael Jordan. All right, earn it. Right. I appreciate you earning it. And then once you earned it, you didn't. You never relinquished it.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. See, the problem to me, and it's funny because I look at those Pistons teams, the team that was always beating up Jordan before he came back and he hit the weights, and that was chronicled in the 30 for 30. It was, he's like, I got to get tougher because he'd go to the rim. And it wasn't just Bill Laimbeer, John Sally, James Edwards. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a big, Nevitt even was 7'4". He played a little, like these big bodies that were just taking liberty, just taking shots, right? See, but what's happening now is that the contracts are so exorbitant, right? And if it's not the perfect situation, that player is going to negotiate a buyout. He's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like Drummond did it, like Blake Griffin did it, like LaMarcus Aldridge did it. And we've seen it before, even last year and the year before, that the rosters are so fluid. To me, I love this expression. I don't use it that much, but I love it. Familiarity breeds contempt. The more I bump into you, and the more I bump into you when I'm trying to go my way and you're trying to get to the same spot, we have a little contempt. In the sporting sense, right?
Yes.
Familiarity breeds contempt. And when the rosters are always turning on the five new guys, four new guys, it just lacks that energy, and not hate because that's too strong, but that legitimate dislike, like that almost disregard for the other person's physical well-being. I know that sounds a little bit probably too much for a 2021 sports fan, but that's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Like Charles Oakley and Alonzo Mourning, or Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning, or the Davis brothers with Indiana. You know, you had back in the day with Rick Smits and obviously Reggie Miller, Larry Brown squad. I mean, they just had guys that were always there, like for 5-6 years, always there, always played 6 or 7 game series against the same team, right? And when you do that, you can't stand each other.
You're right.
You don't get that much in the league anymore. It's always changing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. To me, that's more important. And we get to this more coming up. That's more important to me than trying to recapture, recreate the Bird Magic dynamic, which is never happening again.
I 100% agree. Now the question becomes, and we can try to answer this, BT, is who are those teams that are primed to do that in the next 5 years?
That's where we go. Well, I've got a few on my list. I know you've got a few as well. Which teams could possibly carry that baton, take the torch, and do what we just described, where they're ever present, and they've got the same cast of characters, the same core, and they're battling the same teams for a couple of years? That just creates, an energy that's undeniable. That's what the league's missing, right? They're missing some other things, too. But to me, that's what they're really missing. Let's get to it. We'll probe a little bit more deeply after this. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Or the PGA Tour returns to CBS. Many of the world's best golfers descend on the famous Harbor Towns Golf Links course in Hilton Head, South Carolina. It's the RBC Heritage. Live coverage tomorrow, Sunday, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific only on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So, the quest to find a rivalry. Now, again, it's all-encompassing when you are lucky enough to have, and again, dynamic of race, dynamic of geography. I mean, it was just a perfect serendipitous grand slam for the NBA. It was a drug-fueled league. Mm-hmm. It was a mess. You had two guys who came in, all ball, different colors, totally different styles, different franchise, teams, 3,000 miles apart. We know the story of Magic Bird. That's the optimal, model. I, as I told Teak last segment, I even think that, when you're fighting within the same conference for the same thing, that the animosity flares up, because not only will one team prevent you from getting to play for a championship and then getting at the championship, but you play more times during the regular season.
That's right.
Obviously.
That's right.
So again, familiarity breeds contempt. I'm going to give you two teams, and it's two teams that I would almost bet, if I said, Teak, take 10 guesses at two pairings that I have come up with that I think could take the baton on some level without overstating it and create, a year-to-year dynamic, a rivalry that kind of traces back to the old days. I don't think you could get it, so I'll just give it to you.
Go ahead.
You're right, because your mind won't go here, nor should it.
Where is the Nets and Bucks?
No, I'm going to give you some guesses. Nets and Bucks.
Nets and Bucks.
No.
Okay, because these are mine.
I got you.
Jazz and Nuggets.
Nope.
Lakers-Clippers?
Nope.
Go ahead.
The Knicks and the Heat.
Hmm. And that's old.
Well, it's old school. It's old, but listen, you don't want to just.
It's like, old ties. It's old ties. Let's put it that way.
Not only that, yes, but that's not what I'm reaching. That's undeniable.
Yeah.
But I'm not reaching for that reason.
Go ahead.
It's got, I need a little more substance. And the substance is that stylistically, what they preach to the organization. Now the Thibodeau's in the door, and we gave you his ranks for the Knicks in terms of field goal percentage allowed, 3-point percentage allowed, points per game, deficient, all number one in the NBA. 19 times the Knicks have held opponents below 100 points, which is tied for third most in the NBA. Now, not this year. I don't mean this year because the Knicks will, you know, probably finish among the top eight. Well, they will. Maybe drop to a play-in at that point. Who knows? Knicks aren't ready for prime time. I'm not wasting people's time with that.
No.
The way Thibodeau, what he espouses, what he forces you to do to play for him is very similar to what Pat Riley expects, and by trickle down, what Spoelstra expects, pardon me. And when you have two franchises, not to mention regional, the whole New York, and it happened in the past, you've got, I believe, now these not the draft well, Knicks have to get up to their level. I believe you're on a – and I do think they'll be vying for the same free agents now that the Knicks are no longer viewed as toxic anymore, finally. Yeah. I think they're on a collision course, not this year, maybe not even next year. But next year could be the beginning of a bit of an old-school rivalry. That's what I'm saying, Knicks in the Heat.
Yeah, and that's kind of in the same time frame that I see the Utah Jazz, who actually may go much farther than we expect them to go, and the Denver Nuggets. But obviously that's got to be put on pause because Jamal Murray now has a torn ACL. It's unfortunate. It sucks. Young, great kid. He was ascending and becoming a better star out there for Denver. But think about that series last year, BT, in the first round where the Denver Nuggets, and I mean, they were going shot for shot and 50-point game. And ultimately the Denver Nuggets pulled through and they got through to the Western Conference Finals, which is crazy to think about. The Denver Nuggets were in the Western Conference Finals last year. We've almost forgotten that.
They got one of the five best players in basketball.
Right.
They got a puncher's chance, right?
That's right. And they obviously lost to the Lakers. But that first round series between the Jazz and the Nuggets was awesome. It was epic. And I think it was a foreshadow of what the Western Conference has in store. Maybe not right now, just like you're talking about with the Knicks and the Heat. But in a couple of years, even though the Jazz have really accelerated where they are, sitting at the top of the Western Conference right now. The other one is in the Eastern Conference, BT, and I said it, the Nets and the Bucks. And really, it's only because of two players.
Not Philly, huh? Not Nets and Philly?
No, it's only because of two players. Two players here. And we haven't realized this. Now, I was looking back, and I saw this story about KD and Giannis, and it was so interesting because they've only up until this year, well, whatever, last year, and KD didn't even play, so they hadn't even played each other. They played 10 times since 2013. That's it. 10
That's
times.
Very infrequent. Wow.
Very infrequent. And so KD now being with the Nets and Giannis, the two-time MVP and defensive player of the year, like that's a rivalry in the Eastern Conference waiting to happen. Now, I believe that the Nets clearly have the advantage right now because we're always talking down the Bucks, mainly because they haven't done anything yet. Not that the Nets haven't done anything, but they have players on that team who have. I feel like that's one that could give us a lot of entertainment value. KD and Giannis on a regular basis in the regular season, and then one of those two have to push through to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, likely also against the 76ers, but I see that becoming a rivalry as
well. I really like it, but don't you just wish Durant was still in his late 20s to really
100%.
Ride that out for him?
And again, I mean, KD's going to come back fully healthy. Let's just say, forget even if he's not even fully healthy this year. So let's say next year he starts, he's fully healthy.
Mm-hmm.
How many more years does he have left in his prime?
I say five.
I was going to say three.
As a
five.
Scorer, he's got five.
Three to
Nobody
so,
can
five,
stop
so,
him.
So 5 years. That kind of lines up with Giannis, right?
Yep.
So I think in that next 5-year time frame that we're talking about, that's an interesting one to keep an eye on.
I like it. Now, how are we going to throw all these potential rivalries out there? I know you mentioned them, but you kind of just threw them in there. How do we not give the Sixers more attention? I mean, based on their youth, based on their trajectory, based on their season this year. How do I, would it be the Nets? I mean, could it be?
It would.
I thought it was going to be the Celtics for a couple years. That's what I thought.
Until the Celtics get a dominant big man, I can't see it, man. I really can't.
But the Nets don't have a dominant big man, so who's
But they have KD. You know what I mean? And look, we saw this in the 76ers Nets game the other day. The Nets had zero chance to stop Embiid. When he wanted to be back to the basket, you know, dump it to me, come on, let's go, they had no shot.
Yep.
And so it's going to have to be a scoring game. Like, all right, we're going to shoot around out here. We don't want to get down there and get defended by Embiid. You can score in the paint all you want, but you're going to trade twos for threes all game? We believe we have an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But the Celtics, you're right. I want them to be that team. I really do. Like, I want to put the Celtics back on that list and say, man, they're a viable, rivalry-ripe team. But there's no presence in the paint, and I feel like there are a bunch of clones around the perimeter. And I'm not knocking them, but I don't see a differentiated skill set for them, and that's going to get them in trouble in some of these series that they get into in the postseason.
I got you. No, I didn't detect any lies there. I hear you. The other thing that if you want to forecast this out, and I said this before, stylistically, the way the Heat that they demand. First of all, they draft those kind of players. They identify those kind of players. And if they happen to misidentify a player, they get rid of them quick. Like, if you're playing for if Pat Riley's drafting you and Eric Spoelstra's putting you on the court for 30-plus minutes a night, you're playing defense and you got heart. Otherwise, they're just going to get rid of you and they'll swallow the mistake, right? And I know that Thibodeau's doing the same thing, starting to. But also, that's why I like the Utah one, because he's been there, what is this, year 8? I think he's been coaching there. I think it's year 8.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And when you have coaching, I'm not saying Steve Nash is going to be there for 7 or 8 years, but what happens when, again, if you just missed it, Kyrie and Durant signed 4 years. This is year 2. Next year's year's 3, obviously. And then it's an opt-out. And, I'm not saying this taking a shot at Kyrie, but I don't know if Kyrie's playing next week. No one knows what he's doing in 2 years. So I think it's very hard to look at the Nets and say, all right, let's push them together, as a group, the core, for, 3-4 years and put them in that prominent place in the conference, which is really unfortunate, because if we could, that'd be a team you'd remember for the rest of you. I mean, we'll still remember them, but kids growing up watching the NBA for the first time could theoretically look at that team the way we look at Bird's and Magic's team.
That's right.
Like, look at all these guys.
Yeah, they're all dominant.
They're superstars.
All
incredible.
MVP quality type players.
Every one of them, all three of them.
Even though Kyrie hasn't won one. Quinn and Snyder's been there 7 years, BD.
Seventh. I didn't know if it was 7 or 8 for
Snyder.
Yeah,
this is seventh one. Yeah, I agree with you.
That's
a shame. It's
a shame.
You keep saying this, and I hope it's not true that – that they decide to stay together, talking about KD and Kyrie.
I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just saying that until they actually commit to doing it, there's an out for each of them in their contract.
The problem is it's an option. It's an option that we've seen too many star players take and
for
go someplace else.
And, by the way, not only is it an option, but it's also an option for two very transient players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who have history of packing up and going elsewhere.
That's right.
Maybe this is different because they're boys and they're really enjoying it, but, I don't know. D-Cell, did you say something?
Yeah, no, we're just pausing for the update, but it's all
good.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry.
No, but I hear you. I mean, I love what the Nets potentially can be.
Uh-huh.
And while I'm a little bit frustrated because I haven't seen those three stars play together enough to, really enjoy it. Like, I haven't enjoyed it yet. It's a great pairing, great trio. Because pair would be two, but you know what I mean? It's a great,
I got you, but that's pretty much what they have. They don't have a trio.
That's a good point.
Have a pair,
it's a great trio. And I just want to see them grow and be, man, this team is so dominant.
I'll be nice.
Who's going to beat them? Let's find a team or try to convince ourselves that some team in the East or in the West, if they get to the NBA Finals, can beat them. And if they play together enough, I don't see it happening. The problem is, I don't think they're going to play together enough. The season's getting close to the end, BT.
I know.
I don't know about James Harden's hamstring and Kyrie. Obviously, Kyrie's healthy, but.
And he was great the other night against Philly. He was phenomenal. KD elected to sit for rest. I would imagine, he's playing next game. The other thing, too, D-Cell, just tell me when Axel's set. We'll get it going. Oh, he's good. Okay, thanks. The other thing, too, is that I said this in the previous segment. with all, yeah, and I didn't mind it, like when Karl Malone did it and Gary Payton, they went and played, you know, with the Lakers, and then you've got, you know, now everybody's jumping around. Well, here's a shooter who will take below market value, go to Team X, and try to win a championship. I don't begrudge guys for chasing championships. I don't. I'd probably do it as well. If I've got all the money in the bank and my statistical resume is set, I would love to be known as a champion. So if there was a slot and I could go play with LeBron or I could go play with Kawhi or I could go play with whomever I view, whether it's Irving, Durant, that duo or that singular superstar that can get me to the place I want to get, like AD with LeBron, and he got it, then I would probably do it too. But what happens is that there's so much roster volatility that, back to the expression, familiarity breeds contempt.
Yep.
And when it's so new, there's no anger. There's no negative energy. You're not butting heads for 2-3 years. And that's real stuff that the older fans know because we went through it. We lived it. And we know that. Now, listen, what we perceive to be the best, younger fans perceive to be, I get it. We did it, you know. I used to make, you know, listen, I like it now. But when I was on the Bell Parkway and my dad was jamming the Four Seasons down my throat, like doo-wop, Cousin Brucey, who I love. I met Cousin, great guy. Like the old 50s, Four Seasons, Frankie Valli, et cetera. I couldn't stand it when I wanted to hear like Def Leppard or, you know, Michael Jackson. Like, I got a wide range of music back then and now. But I love it now. So I get it. Like in the moment, you're probably hearing, if you're in your 20s, you're probably hearing us saying, these guys, their NBA's whack. I love the NBA. That's fine. I'll just tell you, you missed out on something that was awesome. You missed out on something that was awesome. But it's all good. It's all good, T. Ack, how you doing today, buddy? You good? You straight?
Great. I like the Cousin Brucey and Frankie Valli reference. Yeah,
You would. Knew you would. Cousin Brucey, great guy. I was well. My first job, I had a few internships. My first job in the business, I was doing part of this paid intern program at Fox 5, Good Day New York, right? This is when Jim Ryan was the morning host and Maria Gennaro was his partner. And I was working the green room, which was great. I mean, I had to run and get scripts and get coffee and do all the things that you have to do. But I was in charge of the green room, too, so the guests come in, Teak and Ack, and I just bring them to the green room. And quite frankly, I'd forget about my other responsibilities, and I would just hang out and talk with them. And first time I met Cousin Brucey, I told him about my dad and his affinity for the music and how he loved his pipes. And like that, you want to talk about a distinctive voice.
Oh, yeah.
And what a nice man. What a nice guy. So anytime you get a little Cousin Brucey reference in there, you drop it.
If you got time for a 30-second story,
go ahead.
I cut a class at NYU one day when I was in school and decided to go over to the radio station, do some work over there. And I walk in, there's this whole class there, and the teacher says to me, "Can I help you with something?" I said, "Yeah, I'm trying to get into the studio, record some stuff." He says, "Well, we have a class right now. If you'd like, you could sit in." He was very nice. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, that was Cousin Bruce who just talked to me.
He was teaching?
I never had seen him before, but I picked up the voice.
Yeah, back then you never – it was just – now, you know, you're on the radio. You know what everybody knows, what everybody looks like. Back then it was just voice. Good stuff, Ack.
I was stunned.
I hear you. And then he's like, "Who's this guy trying to get in my class? Get him out. He doesn't have the chops. He's not going to make it." Update from Ack. Connor Rogers after that. Bleach Report, Leeds Wrath Expert. We'll talk some NFL. Ack's update right now. Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Top of the hour, this NCAA transfer rule already impacting colleges and a lot of high school players as well. Teak and I will dive deeply into that coming up. Gary Sheffield next hour as well. Not many guys had bat speed like Sheff. I mean, you throw him an inside hanger or inside heat, he had more foul ball home runs and he had a lot of regular home runs than anybody in the game. His bat speed was insane. We'll get with Chef coming up next hour as well. Teak and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Teak, let's get back to the NFL. We're joined by Connor Rogers. And Connor's a college football, NFL, and NFL draft analyst for Bleach Report. He co-hosts Bleach Report's Draft Crash Course with Lefko and covers all aspects of this year's NFL draft class, player, coach, celebrity interviews. He's got everything you need, and Connor is with us here. Connor, Teak and Tierney, how you doing today?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. Let's dive into this draft because it could go in so many different places. How many quarterbacks do you have going in the top 10? Because that's what everybody's focused on. There could be a run on quarterbacks. Some of them may fall, but I doubt it. I know some people are saying Justin Fields could drop. I don't see it happening. But how many do you have going in the top 10?
I think it's a lock that 5 go in the top 10. It really is. And a lot of people sit there and go, well, someone's got to fall. Well, Not really. We're going to see the run on trades, and we've already seen it happen. We know Trevor Lawrence is going number one. We know Zach Wilson is going number two to the New York Jets. And then the Niners, something really interesting I heard very recently, guys, is that they did not make that trade to three with just one of the quarterbacks in mind. They like this class so much that they made that trade and said, hey, we got a lot of work to do on Mac Jones, on Justin Fields, and Trey Lance, kind of similar to what the Jets did. I mean, BT, I know you remember in 2018 how early they made that trade, not necessarily knowing who would fall at the time with two teams in front of them.
Yep.
And then you have the wild card that's the Falcons. But when it comes down to it, there's so many quarterback needy teams that we're going to see all five of those main guys go in the top 10 picks.
That's amazing. Connor, what did you make of it was reported by somebody and, you know, verified account, somebody with a professional credential. It's largely been refuted, though. I don't know that it's been officially shot down. What did you hear about the Niners calling the Jets and offering the 12th overall pick for Darnold? And I have a rough time believing this, that Joe Douglas shot it down because he hadn't yet had a chance to see Zach Wilson in person, so he couldn't do that without seeing that the shoulder was good. Is there any merit to that report?
Not really in my eyes. I think that's just an insane return for the Jets to shoot down at that time. I know when they hired Robert Saleh and the staff that came in with him, with Mike LaFleur, they were big fans of Sam, but they also knew the financial, you know, implications here of drafting a new quarterback, the fact that both sides felt they needed a fresh start. So if they got the call with that kind of return, I think it would have been a longer conversation. Now, I just wonder if we're missing details there, right? Maybe did the Jets have interest in sending pick 23 in Sam to move up to 12? That's something
gotcha.
That would make more sense. But just number 12 straight up.
No.
For Sam Darnold, that's just not realistic.
I thought so. Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah, I don't think that
is. I mean, come on.
I agree. That's not realistic as well. He just hasn't proven it yet.
And I like the guy, but still.
Yeah. Look, there are a lot of interesting, you know, get off the quarterbacks for a minute because we're so enamored with them. But there's some really good talent. Both BT and I had this conversation a couple days ago. On the defensive side, for sure. Wide receivers as well. And let's stay there because I think that's the one that's most interesting. Ja'Marr Chase, as we know, opted out, and Devontae Smith had this ridiculous year. Waddle, it was supposed to be maybe better, but he got hurt. Like, how do you break down this wide receiver class, and which one of all of these really great college players is likely to go first, and to whom?
Yeah, they're special. I mean, they really are a special group. I know everybody got really excited last year, and I think last year's class might have been deeper, but this year's class has more high-end talent at the top, and I think that's why you're probably going to see potentially all three of those pass catchers you mentioned probably go in the top 11 picks, honestly, or they have a chance to, at least. And I think to answer, you know, who the first one would be, I think it's Ja'Marr Chase at five. I think Cincinnati is really comfortable in that spot. I think wisely they've listened to Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow has really, you know, banged the table to bring Ja'Marr Chase to Cincinnati, reunite them. We know how special that combination is. And I think when you look at it, at the end of the day, it just makes a lot of sense for them to get that guy that, as a 19-year-old, right, when he did last play, as a 19-year-old, he was running by guys that now start in the NFL. I mean, it's a special film, that national championship season. So then you get into the other two. Jalen Waddle, I think, is really the closest thing we're going to see to Tyreek Hill, just that special game-changing speed that he changes the game when the ball is not in his hands, the kind of threat he poses to a defense. So I look at it and just kind of wonder, now, where did the landing spots fall for these guys? And I think it kind of feels like the last, you know, the latest they can go, the Giants at 11, I don't think they're done with wide receivers. The Eagles at 12, and even the Chargers at 13. They want to build around Justin Herbert. They made a lot of free agent investments in the offensive line to leave things open for them in this draft. And Jalen Waddle's speed fits there really well, too. So those guys are going to go really early, along with Kyle Pitts, a great pass catcher. I think we're going to see those four pass catchers kind of go as no-brainer top 13 picks.
So we're talking to Connor Rogers, college football NFL draft analyst for Bleacher Report. So there's two other receivers, and we've had both on the show. Bateman from Minnesota. More recently, we had Rondale Moore on, who had a sick pro day. I think he ran a 4.29. He was sub 4.3.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Tiki flew. And he told me, you were off that day. He said, if I don't break 4.3, I'm going to be unhappy. He barely broke 4.3, so I would think he's happy. But you know what's amazing, Connor? For a smallish guy, in terms of height. He bounces off people. He runs through people like Moore really looks for contact. That's visible on his tape. So we know the other receivers will go before Bateman and Moore. But is there that much of a drop-off between those guys and the last two that I mentioned?
God, you really would think so the way people talk about them, but I don't see it. Bateman is special to me. He's a round one player. I look at him and think, you know, the releases off the line of scrimmage, very, very similar to Keenan Allen, a guy that just coached by P.J. Fleck, who has done a marvelous job with wide receivers for a long time, well before he was a nationally known name. He knows how to get open, Rashad Bateman, and he knows how to do it in traffic, and they haven't had the best quarterback play there where the numbers are going to shock you or anything like that. He ran really well at his pro day. So I look at Baltimore in the first round. They could not get a wide receiver to come there in free agency. They really, really had to wait till it was bargain shopping time for whatever reason. So they can use the draft to solve that. And you look at Rondale Moore, a special athlete. And I know everybody's overreacting because he measured at 5'7 instead of 5'9. Look, guys, he's small, but he's short. He's not necessarily tiny. He's,
yep.
Like you said, he's compact. He's built like Steve Smith, where he wants to run through you. But he also has this 4.3 speed. He jumped out of the gym. Phenomenal athlete. I've seen him get open on the outside. So, sure, you want him in the slot. You want to use him in these offenses that are going to use a lot of jet sweeps and motion and screens just to get the ball in his hands. But the guy can win one-on-ones and stretch the field as well. So, I think they're great players. I think they're, you know, Bateman I have in round one. Rondale Moore, a top 40 pick. If someone took him in round one, I would get it because he creates his own yards, and he's a quarterback-friendly player, and teams need more of those guys.
Connor, 20 seconds. Which team has the most pressure on them to draft well, and why?
I think it's the New York Jets, and I think Joe Douglas has positioned himself really, really well to do it. We know they're taking Zach Wilson at two. They got holes at interior offensive line and corner and could even use a running back at some point. Mm-hmm. Listen, they're equipped to do it well. 23, 34, 66, they got to hit on these picks, but they're in a good spot to get it done.
Oh, I like the way that sounds. Connor Rogers, Bleacher Report, good work, man. Keep cranking out the good stuff. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate you, Connor.
Man. They do great stuff over there.
Yeah, and Lefko is awesome. He's my boy.
Yep. But he's great up there dude. With Shaq and Candace Parker when they start
yeah,
sparring.
That's right. Nah. That's right. Well, he must have done something right because he calmed them all down. BT, we got this report right before our last break. Donovan yeah. Mitchell had to be helped to the locker room after landing awkward. We were literally just talking about him.
Come on.
We saw the Jamal Murray ACL tear. I don't think – I just rewatched it. I don't think it's quite that, but he has not come back out. Donovan Mitchell is out for the game, I believe.
Oh, man, that's horrible.
Horrible.
Definitely knee. I mean, I know you don't know what it is.
Lower extremity doesn't look like. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. Ugh. But he's not. He's holding his leg, so it's either knee or ankle. So.
I got to check this out on social media. I'm sure it's clips are everywhere. Oh my God! I mean, at this point, let's just get to the second season here.
Yeah.
Let's just start playing meaningful games. Yeah. Man, what a rough finish to the season. Hopefully, it's not terrible. But we'll update you on that. Teague and I'll also get to this coming up next third hour. We got Gary Sheffield. Do a little baseball, who's hot early on, where's some trouble spots, and also the NCAA transfer rule, not only impacting college players, obviously, but high school kids as well. We'll tell you how much and why next. Tiki and Tierney.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.